Ordinariat press conference held at the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales on the 17th of January 2011. Please note that in this two-part recording, the audio levels have been picked up for the questions that were asked by the journalists, but the microphone was actually angled on the desk at Father Keith Newton, the new ordinary, Bishop Alan Hopes, Auxiliary Bishop of Westminster, and Father Marcus Stock, General Secretary of the Bishops' Conference of England and Wales. Part two starts with the following question. Won't it be very difficult to manage, in effect, a diocese spread across England and Wales? Won't there be practical problems?
Well, it rather depends how many groups there are eventually in the ordinariates, but it's not very much different from what I've been doing for the last 10 years, to be honest, or eight and a half. I've been travelling a lot it's basically half of southern England, from Lincoln down to Kent, across to Hampshire. I know this is larger, but there are less groups at the moment. So I don't think that's impossible. You know, if there are 30 groups, then I think it's perfectly feasible that I could have oversight of them. There's obviously constraints on terms of transport, but you know, you're not going to see them every couple of weeks, are you? I mean, it's 30 groups for me to look after would be quite manageable. Obviously, if the ordinary grows, and you had 200 congregations, that would be very different. And there is a possibility that there could be two ordinariates in the Episcopal Conference area. It just depends how this develops.
I suppose I mean partly if you compare it with your old job. You've got now parishes which are non-territorial, where the clergy are not going to be paid, and they're going to have to do stipends. I'm talking about the resources too. It's going to be quite thinly stretched, isn't it?
Oh, well, it is. I mean, we're being helped, and you heard the message from Cardinal Levada on Saturday, that he hoped that the church, the Catholic Church in England and Wales, would help not only in terms of prayer, but also in terms of material needs. And we've already had an example of that, and some money being given. There's going to be help with housing. There's help in trying to find priests enough money for them to live. I can't answer those questions at the moment because we're just beginning to do that. But we've already had a few people who've approached us with possibilities of finding employment or giving money, and we're trusting that God is going to lead us in the right direction.
One other thought is that you've got what is in effect a denomination within the Catholic Church. Within the Catholic Church,
yes.
Which won't have its own inherent sort of seed of growth, will it? It won't be, people will join you now in bits from different parishes and different parish groups. It's difficult to see that growing organically, isn't it? You're going to rely on conversions from other people who are already in the Church of England, who are unhappy about some aspect of their life.
Well, there may be that, but there's plenty of people out there who actually have, you know, no practice of the faith at the moment. And I hope this is going to be an evangelistic tool. I think it's part of the Pope's vision for the evangelisation of Europe. It's just a very small part. But I hope the ordinary is not going to live for itself. It actually is going to look beyond its borders to be evangelistic and not simply saying to people who are in present Anglican churches, come and be Catholics within the ordinary. Well, that will happen, I'm sure. But also for those who've got no practice of the faith, to be warm and opening and missionary. We're certainly not going to do this for ourselves.
I wasn't suggesting any selfish motive so much as it's going to be a difficult message to send, isn't it? It's already quite difficult to evangelise people. You're going to have a rather complex churchmanship, aren't you, to sell to the uninitiated?
Well, it'll be a very, I suppose, it'll be a very English form of Catholicism. It might have a particular way of getting into the communities that perhaps Catholic priests have not had. I mean, you know, we talked about our patrimony so often, and everybody seems to go on to liturgy. But I think there are other things about being having been an Anglican that perhaps we will be bringing. And until we actually start to do that, I don't think we'll see how that's going to actually flourish. But there is an attitude to the wider community that we bring, an attitude to mission, which is, it's not that the Catholic Church has wanted to do it, but by the nature of its numbers, it's almost often impossible. You know, it's very different if you're ministering to a congregation of 50, 60, 70, or you're ministering to a congregation like the one I was at on Sunday, where the normal mass attendance is 1,200 on a Sunday. But I think Anglican priests who are going to be part of the ordinary will have a vision of the relationship with the community, which is, I hope, will be a gift to the Catholic Church. But I don't know the answers to this until the thing grows and sees how it develops. But I certainly don't want it to be inward looking.
Can I ask a question? I probably should know, but I can't understand why you were seen fully. You're fully Catholic, and you'll be running the ordinary. Why you shouldn't be paid by the Catholic Church?
Do you want to answer that, or
yes,
shall I?
There's a very simple answer to that. Every diocese looks after itself financially and otherwise, and it would be the same for the ordinariate. So in the ordinariate, the ordinary actually is going to be responsible for making sure that it's financially sound and everybody's
it has to be
receiving money and food and so on. But at the moment, the Catholic Church is supporting the Catholic dioceses in England and Wales are supporting the ordinariate, because we know there's no finance there at the moment.
Those groups that are coming over, you've got a group. There will be money for that group, which will help to support the priest. But that may need to be added to from different quarters in order to give them the particular person enough resources to live on if he's married or he's got children. So some may have to have some sort of work. And one of the interesting thing about the apostolic constitution is it does allow the clergy to have a job if necessary. It rather depends on how much the group can support, how much paid employment there might be, all sorts of issues. And they've all got to be worked out for the individual priest, I think. I think what you have to remember is that we are moving from a situation where an Anglican priest gets a given stipend in order to do certain things to a situation in which a Catholic priest receives his support in a very different way. I know you said, a Catholic priest gets a stipend of this much, which is very small, but certainly other things are paid for him in a way that we've never done in the Church of England. So we're moving into two different ways of looking after the clergy.
So I presume in your business plan, you worked out how long the quarter of £1 million will last?
Well, I shouldn't think it'll last very long. It depends what we're doing with it.
Have you got an estimate?
No. I mean, I don't imagine that quarter of £1 million will basically to pay all the clergy. That's not what it's for, I don't think. I think what we've got to start up very clearly, is a fund that will top up the clergy's pay if we can't get it to what's necessary. But we hope it'll come from a number of different quarters. You know, it may be that a priest can have a part-time post as a chaplain, which may give him £5,000 a year. And maybe his little group can supply £5,000 a year. Well, that's, you're halfway there almost, not quite.
And in fact, each of our bishops are looking at possibilities in the local areas.
I was going to say, what jobs are you looking at?
Well, I mean, chaplaincies would be one particular thing, either prison or hospitals or whatever, school chaplaincies. There are other organisations, I wouldn't want to say who they are, which they are, but we want to help by saying there's part-time work that we can provide in doing something within the Catholic Church, but it's not actually, it could be done by a layperson, but it could also be done by a priest, and perhaps might be better done by a priest.
Bishop Allen, you've made this journey yourself in the past, so I wonder if you had any advice for the new priests.
I've been doing nothing but give advice for the last year. I think from my own journey, which I made 16, 17 years ago, I keep telling everybody, just trust in God. Everything will work out well, and it does. And Father Keith said this morning, he's just made an almighty great leap of faith. That's what you have to do. That's part of this journey. And I've always assured him and others who are going to go down this path that if they can do that, they'll find warmth, they'll find welcome, and they'll find incredible support and encouragement too from the Catholic Church.
Is there a feeling though that this has gone quite quickly? Well, there is. I think you've said it's gone quickly. Has it gone too quickly?
No, I don't think so. I mean, all these things seem very quick, but I mean, this is, presumably, we've been thinking about this for the last 15 months since the Apostolic Constitution, and I know that the the Congregation of the Doctrine of Faith feel very strongly that the first priest needs to be in the ordinariate quite quickly so that we can help to gather and help those who are going to come over, which is why we've been ordained in within 2 weeks. The others will go through a longer process, and they'll have some formation between Ash Wednesday and Pentecost. I think it's very important to say that that formation will continue afterwards. It's not that they're going to have less than anybody else who comes from the Anglican Church who wants to be a priest in the Catholic Church. It's just it's going to be done in a different way. And because it's important that those priests are able to pastor their groups. And so although there will be a sort of a more intensive bit of preparation before ordination, that will go on for probably up to 2 years.
But with the uncertainty of a money and housing and churches...
Well, I hope there'll be less uncertainty by the time we get to
There won't
Pentecost.
Be any uncertainty by then.
No.
By Easter.
Can you put a figure on the numbers you expect to come out of ordinary Anglicans?
Well, I wouldn't want to say any number, because until a person actually says, this is what I want to do, then they've got the opportunity to say, well, actually, I'm not going to do it. They have to be committed to being a Catholic. I mean, although we say it's groups... Within those groups, everybody has to make a personal decision. I think it's my colleague, Father Andrew, said it's a bit like going on a charabang outing to Walsingham. You all have to pay your fare and get on the bus on your own, but then the bus travels along. And it's a bit like that. Every individual has to make a declaration of faith, has to be confirmed, receive chrismation, but they will do it together. And until they actually say, yes, I want to do this, I can't be sure. Some of the groups may be a dozen or 20, some may be 50, maybe 60 or 70. Until that moment comes, we can't say.
Could you give any advice to people who are thinking about taking the step, ordinary candidates?
Be courageous, trust in the Lord.
Do you know where yet you'll be living and where the principal church will be?
No, I think we did have that question, I think, before you came. But I'll answer it again. The answer is no to both of those questions. Presently, I live in the house I lived in as Bishop of Richborough, and I'll be there until the end of March. The Catholic authorities will, between now and then, I hope and I expect, find me an appropriate place where I will live. At the moment, I don't know where that's going to be. It'll be somewhere in London, I imagine. And again, the principal church, we will have to have some conversations. It says in the deed of erection, which probably you haven't seen yet, but will be put on the website, that there will be a consultation between the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, the Episcopal Conference of England and Wales, and the Ordinary, where that principal church should be.